welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear the latest from the 133rd Airlift Wing, and we'll get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
We refer to the days between the end of winter and the beginning of fall as the 101 critical days of summer, and for good reason. The statistics show us that as the seasons change and the temperature rises, the number of injuries to our soldiers and airmen also tick upwards. During these 101 days, car accidents, accidental drownings, and alcohol-related injuries are much more common than we would like. A relaxing day out on the lake, a cross-country summer road trip, each one of these scenarios offers an opportunity for injury if we're not careful. As you enjoy your well-earned downtime this summer, I ask you not to forget the importance of safety. A few simple actions on your part prevent bad things from happening. Helmets, seat belts, and life vests. None of these work if you don't use them. So please, make use of your safety equipment. Please, be safe and be smart as you enjoy everything the warmer weather has to offer.
Thank you. Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Colonel James Cleet is the commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota National Guard in St. Paul, Minnesota. He leads more than 1,200 airmen assigned to the wing. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Colonel, I'm excited today. As you know, I was in the Air Force and the Air National Guard, and I was a member of the 133rd Airlift Wing a long time ago. But it's great to get an update and great to talk to the commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing. I want to take you back to 1991. I understand you entered the military as a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy.
Indeed, I graduated in 1991 and began my journey through the active duty and then onto the guard from there. I had had the opportunity to graduate in 91 and then went to pilot training in 92. And after that, I got to serve as a flight test engineer on the stealth bomber for 4 years at Edwards Air Force Base. And after
what a great experience,
that, sir. Flying career.
And sir, I understand that you've logged a lot of hours in F-16s and C-130s, over 3,800 hours.
Indeed, I probably. About 3,500 hours in the F-16 from active duty in the Guard and then up in Duluth, and then the last couple hundred hours in the C-130 over the last 5 years while I've been down here at the 133rd.
And, Colonel, I see that you were in a number of positions at the 148th Fighter Wing while you were flying the F-16s. Can you tell us how long were you up there? And I'm sure you had a good experience in those F-16s.
Well, indeed. I joined the Air National Guard in 2004. In Duluth. I transferred from active duty there, and then I stayed there until about 2015, where I transferred down here. So while I was flying F-16s, I was a flight instructor, evaluator, and then a squadron commander in Duluth for a couple years.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, sir, how you got from Duluth, the 148th Fighter Wing and F-16s, down to the 133rd Airlift Wing, flying a very different aircraft in the C-130.
Well, indeed. I was flying single-seat, single-engine fighters, and Colonel Jim Johnson, previous wing commander down here at the 133rd, asked if I'd be interested in a leadership opportunity as the ops group commander down here. So I said yes. Colonel Johnson said yes, and I became the operation group commander and then started learning how to fly a C-130, a crewed large aircraft.
Sir, we had C-123s and 130s in Vietnam, and those were like flying tanks. They could go in and out of almost anywhere with almost any cargo. And I understand that C-130 was, they started flying those in 1951, but it's been a resilient aircraft in its various forms.
This aircraft has been around for a while and will continue to be around for a while because there is nothing that does what it does. The C-130 carries troops, men, women, equipment, supplies into and out of hostile environments in unimproved strips, and there is nothing better than the four-engine propelled airplane to do that.
And Colonel, we often talk on this show about the National Guard because it has a dual mission, the federal mission to help support the United States, the DOT, whenever we have to go overseas, and the state mission where you're here to work with your neighbors and under the command of the governor. Can you tell us a little bit about the two different types of missions that you do on the federal and the state side of it?
Certainly. On the federal side, we deploy airmen all over the world, mostly to the Middle East for the global war on terror. So we take our aircraft and our equipment over there and fly missions into and out of various countries there. We also do a lot of support for the combatant commander in the Middle East for communications, security forces, the men and women simply doing personnel affairs and logistics for all the type of all the business keeps the Air Force running. So we integrate into that federal mission about every other year or so. So next year we'll be doing that again. And so that's generally our federal mission. We could do that anywhere in the world, but mostly we spend our time in the Middle East.
We're speaking with Colonel James Cleet on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, one part of that mission, do you still do the aeromedical evacuations?
Indeed. We just sent a group of our aeromedical evacuation squadron into the Middle East. And so their job is to take injured American soldiers and Marines and get them off the battlefield and get them back to medical care to take care of them and their families. So we just sent off a group of our airmen to do that literally within the last week.
So that's a specialty configuration for the back of the aircraft so that they can handle the medical patients.
Indeed. So the back of the aircraft would be configured with life-saving equipment and litters so that we can carry injured people. And then we also have the specialized crew that goes in the back of the airplane, the nurses, the medical technicians and such that take care of the patients while they're en route in the airplane.
And, sir, on the state missions, can you share with us how you'd use your airmen and your equipment to support the state of Minnesota?
Certainly. Our state mission can be any variety of things the governor can task us with, anything to do with the aircraft, again, to transport men and equipment potentially anywhere in the state that he needs that done. Also, our medical folks, the same folks who will fly on the back of those airplanes, if they're not flying, they're also used, for example, right now in the fight against COVID. Our airmen, our medical technicians are out in congregate care facilities and nursing homes and such, doing medical testing, COVID testing, in support of the Minnesota Department of Health. And so our resources can do that. Also, we are tasked for major emergencies. If we have governor needs communication equipment, we have a pretty robust capability to keep our command authorities, our governor, our state emergency operations center, in radio contact and computer contact with other organizations throughout the state, so we can help with that as well.
And, Colonel, I understand the 133rd Airlift Wing is part of the Minnesota National Guard, and you're headquartered at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. But we also have a facility on Earth called Camp Ripley, and it has a long runway and has to be very valuable to you and your pilots for training purposes.
Indeed. We use both the runway there. They have a paved runway and a shorter dirt assault strip that we use for training. They also have some training ranges on the north side of the complex there where we practice dropping equipment into drop zones. So the airspace is big enough for us to drop equipment out of the back of the airplane on parachutes and then go recover it in those zones.
It's got to be quite helpful to your training process, sir, to have that facility right here in Minnesota.
Absolutely. The closer the training facility is, and being right here in Minnesota helps us. It saves time. It saves money on fuel and allows us to get a lot more training a lot more rapidly, if you would, so that we don't have to waste time droning to another a training facility further away.
Very good, sir. Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I would like to talk to you a little bit about some missions that you went on in 2019 and your expectations for 2020. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we've been talking to Colonel James Cleet, who is the commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing, Minnesota National Guard, St. Paul, Minnesota. He leads more than 1,200 airmen assigned to the wing. They're headquartered out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, utilizing C-130H3 Hercules aircraft. And, Colonel, appreciate your joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit your version of the C-130H3? Is that one of the most modern versions of that aircraft?
It is indeed the most modern version of the C-130H. It was built in 1996, the ones that we have here. And that is the last iteration of the H3. Since then, the active duty Air Force and some Guard units have moved on to the J model, but we have the most modern H models out there.
And, sir, going back to my days in Vietnam, we looked at the C-130s, and I thought of it as a flying tank. You could, once in a while, you'd see them taken off from dirt strips in Vietnam, and they'd be standing on the brakes, and they'd crank that thing up, and it seemed like they'd almost went straight up in the air. What a versatile aircraft, and what a workhorse, sir.
Indeed. The airplane is built to take off on very short, unimproved strips, and land on very short, unimproved strips. So we can do a lot of work that other larger, if you would, jet-powered airplanes can't do. Calling it a tank, not bulletproof, but indeed it is built with a lot of redundancy in mind so that it can fly into in hostile environments.
And, sir, we talked a little bit about the federal missions, state missions, and, of course, the most recent state mission is hauling some of the personal protection gear around and being in support of the state here trying to fight the COVID-19. But I'd like to go back to 2019 and ask you a little bit about some of the missions you went on. I understand that you participated in a mission to on what was called the United States Antarctic Program.
Indeed. We sent some folks. Well, we got the National Science Foundation, who's doing research down in Antarctica. So we support that mission with personnel, primarily in this case, to go down there and help the researchers conduct their work. So we sent about 24 folks in and out of there, some logistics folks and other personnel folks, to take care of the business of the National Science Foundation in their support of the Antarctic research. A lot of environmental work going down there and a lot of if you would, geopolitics going down in that part of the world.
That had to be just fascinating, Colonel. And I also understand that the 133rd spent some time in Afghanistan last year.
We did. Our security forces squadron, so our defenders, if we call them, went to Kabul Air Base and in Afghanistan and helped protect that air base's perimeter from hostile forces and made sure that all the folks operating out of that air base were safe to conduct their mission.
And, sir, I'm looking at the summary of that. It sounds like that unit completed 351 combat flight hours and 64 outside-the-wire missions flying out of Kabul, so you were right in the thick of it, it sounds like.
Indeed. The security forces folks did an outstanding job there. They flew both in the aircraft, so they'd fly with the aircraft, and when they landed out bases, they'd secure the aircraft. That's where they got the 351 combat flights. And then they did 64 outside-the-wire missions. As a side note, a number of our security forces airmen won some awards for valor during those missions outside the air base where they took direct fire and repelled enemy forces. So our guys were indeed in the thick of it and did an outstanding job while they were overseas.
Very good, sir. When I read through this and we talk about the 133rd Airlift Wing, that includes the 133rd Operations Group, which includes the 109th Airlift Squadron, the 133rd Maintenance Group, the 133rd Medical Group for your AeroVac, and the 133rd Mission Support Group. And it says, additionally, that you provide support to the 210th Engineering Installation Squadron and the 208th Weather Flight. And I understand that the 210th Engineering Installation Squadron had a mission last year as well over in at Patrick Air Force Base.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. They went to Patrick Air Force Base, and their job, our installation of communication networks. And so while they were there, they installed and pulled over 11 miles of fiber optic and copper cable to make sure that that base was able to operate and join the 21st century and continue to improve their communications information infrastructure.
So you're involved in a lot of things in 2019, sir, and I understand you had an opportunity to do some readiness training over a period of time in Puerto Rico as well.
Puerto Rico, indeed. We sent our civil engineers and our medical folks down there to accomplish what was called innovative readiness training. So it's a great news story where our civil engineering squadron and our medical professionals go down there and help underprivileged populations. So civil engineers build schools, help with infrastructure. Obviously, Puerto Rico had a hurricane that came through last year and destroyed a lot of infrastructure. So they helped put that back together. So the local community there benefited by the fact that our guys were helping out restore their structure. And at the same time, our folks get the training they need to do those things. Same thing with our medical professionals. They went down there and provided medical care, eye care, dental care to the population. And at the same time, therefore, they got to practice their skills. So that's a win-win when we go down and do those type of deployments.
We're speaking with Colonel James Cleet, the commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, it's the end of May. What are you expecting for the balance of 2020? Is it going to be as busy as last year?
The balance of 2020, it's busy, but busy in a different way. We are maintaining readiness in this COVID environment, so we are finding new ways to maintain our readiness. We have to obviously keep flying our airplanes and keeping our crews ready to do their federal and state mission, but at the same time keeping them safe from COVID-19. So things have changed, but we are still continuing to do that. Our maintainers still got to maintain those airplanes. We got maintainers wearing masks and social distancing as they are learning new ways to maintain the aircraft. So for the rest of this year, we're going to keep keep remaining ready while we keep our force safe from COVID-19.
Sir, the old saying that I've heard for most of my lifetime is join the Navy, see the world. But in the 133rd Airlift Wing, we've already talked about Antarctica, Puerto Rico, Florida, Afghanistan. Your airmen in the course of doing missions get to see most of Minnesota and some of the country and get to go overseas. The Navy doesn't have it on us, do they?
I don't think they do. I would say that the airmen of the 133rd Airlift Wing and, frankly, any airman in Minnesota is going to get to go see the world because we have a worldwide mission.
And, sir, for our listeners that are out there today, if any of them are thinking about a career in the Minnesota Air National Guard, what would you have to say to them, and what type of jobs are open? I know everybody talks about the pilots and people that fly the aircraft, but you've got maintenance personnel, you've got people in finance, you've got people in personnel, you've got all kinds of occupations within the Air National Guard.
If you can think of a job to do, we probably have it in the Air National Guard. Everything from administration and personnelists to logistics specialists to mechanics, both aircraft mechanics and vehicle mechanics, to pilots, to nurses, to medics, you name it, we probably have it here. Communication specialists, public affairs specialists, information technology specialists, it all exists within the Guard.
And, Colonel, I know every year you've got some people that retire, so you're always looking for a few good men and women to join the Minnesota Air National Guard with the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Absolutely. We are always always looking for sharp people who want to work hard and serve their state and country. There are always opportunities and jobs to fill here. Please give us a call.
Colonel, it's been great talking to you today. I hope the rest of 2020 and next year is safe. And you have some great missions, and I kind of miss being out the 133rd. I'll have to stop out there and see you sometime. But I'd like to thank you for taking time from your busy schedule today to join us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's my absolute pleasure to join you, and feel free to come out to the base anytime.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
That was Colonel James Cleet, commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about preventing veteran suicides. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and in this segment, we're going to talk about the Mental Health Awareness Month. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As we near the 4th of July, I'm reminded of the 24-note bugle call, also known as TAPS. Our current version was likely created during the Civil War by Union General Daniel Adams Butterfield. He decided the French Lights Out music was too formal for the daily end-of-day signal. He hummed a version to an aide, who transcribed it to music. General Butterfield then directed the brigade bugler, Oliver Norton, to play the notes, and he made further adjustments to the length of each note. This new call was then played at the end of each day, instead of the regulation call. Word spread, and other buglers adopted the same call. It was even adopted by Confederate buglers. This music was made the official Army bugle call shortly after the war ended, but was not given the name TAPS until 1874. TAPS Out is now played at all military burial and memorial services to accompany the lowering of the flag and to symbolize Lights Out command at day's end.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Paula Nowinski is the Minnesota Department of Affairs Healthcare Division Quality Director and lead on veteran suicide prevention. Paula, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Paula, I understand that you're a registered nurse and you spent quite a few years over at the Minneapolis VA Hospital taking care of our veterans.
Yes, I am a registered nurse. I've been a nurse for 25 plus years, and a good majority of that was over at the Minneapolis VA, working in a variety of departments from the emergency room to an acute medical care floor to 10 years running one of the floors on the Community Living Center, the CLC. I've been now with the MDVA for about a year and a half, and so happy to be here.
Well, thank you for spending those years of taking good care of our veterans out at the VA. But now we want to talk a little bit about Mental Health Awareness Month, and understand that on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you're in the lead on and talking about that special item for this month.
Correct. Yeah, May is designated as the Mental Health Awareness Month, and especially with the COVID-19 pandemic that we're living in, it's causing increased stress and anxiety amongst many people, including our veterans. Many people are safe and healthy, but we're still impacted by the other things like separations from extended family and friends, job loss and child care, and also the school closings. So we're seeing increased concern with people's mental health right now, and we need to make sure that we're doing things to take care of our mental health, and May is a great month to do so.
Paula, I would expect because of the stay-at-home orders that there are some side effects of that, particularly if you're predisposed to some mental health issues or depression or maybe a little PTSD. Does that isolation make things worse for those folks?
Yes, all of those things that you mentioned can be exacerbated or worsened with kind of the stay-at-home order and just the uncertainty of the climate that we're living in right now. It's especially important for people to be able to get outside, have fresh air, be exposed to sunshine, and stay connected with other people, other friends, other families, and other support systems that they have within their community.
Paula, when we have the commander of the state of Minnesota American Legion on, he talks frequently about buddy checks. And what he's talking about there is veterans that you know are home alone and other veterans calling in just to say hello, how you doing, and have just have a little chat with them to break the monotony and to help with their mental health. Seems to me that's pretty important.
It's very important. Buddy checks are a wonderful way to truly stay connected with somebody else, and you might be that one lifeline for that veteran who is suffering from some of those issues that we talked about earlier, the PTSD, the depression, anxiety, and isolation. We want to make sure that all of our veterans have a sense of purpose and that they feel connected to other people, especially other veterans that have gone through similar things that they have. So, yes, if you know a veteran that could be suffering or suffering silently right now, please reach out. A phone call, a postcard, a quick little email, a text message could really mean the difference for them right now.
We're speaking with Paula Nowinski from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Paula, if you do some buddy checks and you call and you find a friend that sounds particularly down, sounds like something's really bothering them, doesn't sound normal, should you be afraid to ask him, how are you doing? Are you having problems with depression? Are you thinking about suicide? You know, a lot of people are reluctant to ask those questions.
Right. And they're difficult questions to ask because sometimes we're afraid to hear the answer because the answer might be something that we really don't quite know what to do with. But please don't be afraid to answer, ask that question and hear the answer that might be difficult. You know, and asking someone if they're thinking about harming themselves, that doesn't cause them to think about then harming themselves or doing anything drastic. We truly care about our veterans, and we generally need to sincerely ask them how they are doing. Don't be afraid to ask them if they are thinking of harming themselves. If they say yes, stay with them. Validate what they're feeling and encourage them to seek some sort of treatment and get help. There's a lot of resources out there to help our veterans. The Suicide Prevention Hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. Press number 1 if you're a veteran. There's also a texting feature now. You can text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741. The local hospitals can also help with someone who's having a mental health crisis. You can call 911 if anyone's in any immediate danger to self or others. Our Link Vet also has a live chat option available, along with the Suicide Prevention Line also has a live chat option available online. So lots of resources to help people, but just don't be afraid to ask the question. If someone's acting a little bit different than they normally would, excessively tired, easily angered, eating or drinking more than normal. It's all of these noticeable changes that we have to be cued into. And if you get a response, please stay with them, encourage them to seek some help and some treatment.
So, Paula, we just got a few minutes left here, but can you walk us through that? I call a buddy of mine. He's depressed. He's not doing well. I ask him, do you need some help? And he said, yes. What do you do? What's the next step? How do you really do this?
How do you really do that? It's challenging. You listen and you ask, what's going on? What's wrong? How's this different from normal? And then the best thing to do is truly, you know, stay connected with them and be present as you're listening and asking these questions. Was good then if you can kind of gauge if there's some sort of immediate threat, meaning, you know, your friend is sitting there and is going to be doing something in the next couple minutes, then it's great to have someone else around you be able to contact 911 for a safety check. Otherwise, you can kind of talk about, you know, what are you thinking about doing here? Are you going to harm yourself soon? You know, how are you going to do that? And you kind of have to make a judgment on the severity of what's going on with the crisis at that time. Generally speaking, like I said, keep them engaged and on the phone and then try to work something else around, you know, someone else in your home to see if they can maybe call 911 or could, if you're on a mobile phone, if you could drive over to them, depending on where they're located. So it all kind of depends on how far apart you are and really what the circumstance and situation is.
So, Paula, what I hear you saying is if you call a friend and it sounds like there's a serious problem, don't just hang up and forget about it. Try to do something, because if you do just hang up and forget about it and they proceed down that line and do something like take their life, you're going to feel bad about it for the rest of yours. So
absolutely,
take it seriously. Call 1-888-LINK-VET, call 911, call home 741-741, or call 1-800-273-8255 and dial and hit the number 1. So take this seriously and check up on your buddies is what I'm hearing. It's a good idea.
It is. Yep, the camaraderie that veterans feel for each other is so important and critical in everybody's mental health and really feeling connected.
Very good, Paula. We have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about suicide prevention. We're speaking with Paula Nowinski from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Paula Nowinski, who is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Healthcare Division Quality Director and lead on Veteran Suicide Program. She's been an RN for a long time, worked with veterans out at the VA hospital and been with the MDVA for a couple of years and working on Mental Health Awareness Month And, of course, we want to talk a little bit more about preventing veteran suicide. And, Paula, I understand there's a new campaign that's called More Than Ever Before.
There is a new campaign, and this was put out by the Prevents Group, which is the Presidential's roadmap to empower veterans to end the national tragedy of suicide. So the challenge is asking any veterans, families, or any supporters of veterans and their families to post a photo on their social media account that shows how you take care of your own mental health, such as running, yoga, walking your dog, doing some sort of meditation outside, fishing or anything like that. So I personally posted one with a hashtag of More Than Ever Before and hashtag Minnesota Veteran of me by a campfire. That's what I do, relaxing on a nice summer evening by the campfire. So please access your social media accounts, put a post out there, hashtag More Than Ever Before, hashtag Minnesota Veteran, showing us how you take care of your own mental health.
And, Paula, I know this is a priority of the governor, so I would assume the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is working with the state of Minnesota and with the VA Medical Center to put a push on this item so that we can stop veteran suicides or at least slow it down as much as possible.
Absolutely. Our goal is to actually reduce veterans' death by suicide by 20% no later than 2020. Right now, about 100 veterans per year take their own lives with suicide in the state of Minnesota. So we have a lot of work to do. But we are partnering with the VA and with SAMHSA, and that is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and we're part of the Governor's Challenge. So we're working with all of the other state agencies, the Minnesota Department of Health, Department of Higher Education, Human Services, Agriculture, along with the four different VAs. We're working with the National Guard. We're working with the Building Healthy Military Communities, local ambulances services, and just all of us are coming together to share resources, figure out what's working, what needs to be done, and all of us working collectively on the same mission. So we started this campaign with the Governor's Challenge back in March, hoping to see some results here and some further actions at the end of the summer.
So, Paula, for the benefit of our audience, our listeners, if you have a veteran in your family, if you have a veteran in your group, a veteran that you go golfing with, a friend, what are the signs? Are there signals? Are there signs that the veteran is having a problem? What should we be looking for?
Sure. Anytime that someone has any type of change in their behavior is something that we need to be concerned about. If someone is more angry than normal, if they have a significant change in their sleeping pattern, they're emotionally labile, meaning they're crying, they're overexcited. Anytime that someone is indulging anything like food and alcohol and other types of drugs, we need to be worried about those. And we need to ask some tough questions. We need to sincerely ask them how they are if there's something wrong. Don't be afraid to ask them if they're thinking of harming themselves. If the answer is yes, stay with them. Validate what they're feeling and encourage them to get treatment and help. If someone's in immediate danger, please call 911. Otherwise, make sure that you offer them the suicide prevention hotline at 1-800-273-8255. Press number 1 if you're a veteran. There's also a texting feature now that you can text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741. Also, any local ambulance company can help you with this, local police departments, fire departments, hospitals, all the VAs, where everybody wants to help the veterans, and we want to help all Minnesota citizens that are at that point of hopelessness and despair and crisis that they'd be thinking of harming themselves.
Now, Paula, once they see a change, they determine there's a problem, they make that call. You spent a lot of time at the VA Medical Center. Experts are available. Help is available. They know how to help with this problem.
Yes. There's not one easy answer because there's not one reason that someone gets to this point of hopelessness or despair. But there are all sorts of resources available and approaches to helping somebody with any type of mental health issue or in some sort of crisis that they're thinking of harming themselves.
So the message today is keep an eye on your veteran. If they're experiencing some kind of problem, make the call. Help is available. We can sit down with them, try to find out what the problem was, put it in the rearview mirror, and move on with life. And Paula, that's what you're trying to accomplish this month with Mental Health Awareness Month.
Absolutely.
Paula, I appreciate your calling today, and I hope you can beat your goals for this year, because there's a lot of veterans I know from Vietnam that just as soon stick around for a little while longer.
I would be happy to have them stick around longer, too. Thank you for your time, Tom.
Thanks, Paula.
All right,
Paula,
bye-bye.
There's Paula Nowinski from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, who is the lead in veteran suicide prevention. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, it's great to be here again.
Greg, how are you doing with these stay-at-home orders and trying to do your work from home? And are you still able to reach out to our veterans?
Well, actually, our county has asked us to work in our offices. We've been at work the entire time. So we've been right here on the beat of what's going on in Brown County, down in southern Minnesota. But the other vets that we have, they're able to stay home, and they sometimes get a little frustrated with things lifting. I've seen some people out riding motorcycles. I see a lot of people out walking. That is really something that has picked up.
Now, Greg, we just had Paula Nowinski on from the MDVA, and we were talking about Mental Health Awareness Month. Has the isolation of being home alone affected some of your veterans down there? Are you doing buddy checks, making some phone calls, those type of things?
We are. We are doing buddy checks. And, yeah, I would say isolation has hit some people particularly hard, especially those that live alone anyway, that live in smaller apartments. That, you know, they're pretty much trapped there on good days, and now they just have to stay home. So, yeah, it's affecting folks. Of course, it's a good thing the sun's shining now. We got clear blue sky, because that's always a positive outlook.
So keep an eye on your buddies, give them a call, and get them out for a walk. Greg, I know you wanted to tell us today about the Bronze Veterans Grave Marker Star.
Right. Yeah, I did. Since we're just coming off Memorial Day, we commonly get a lot of calls on Memorial Day or Tuesday, the day after, about how can I get one of those for my father or my mother who might be a veteran. And I wanted to talk about where they come from and the symbology on those.
Well, I'm excited to hear it. Please explain.
Okay, well, they actually are provided through Minnesota state law, buys one Bronze Star, it's called a Bronze Star grave marker, per veteran that dies in Minnesota. And they can only be obtained through your county veteran service officer. Every year we are tasked by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to put together a list of all the veterans that died in the calendar year. And then we submit that to them, and then they go ahead and order them and pay for them. And disperse them in the springtime to the CVSOs. So, for example, my county, we had 90 last year. And what we do in Brown County is we hand them out to all of our legions, and then they, in turn, go and decorate graves. Some other counties do things differently. They might want you to come in and get a marker, or even other counties will give you one when you're applying for the Veterans Gravestone Marker.
So all veterans that are eligible to be buried in a federal cemetery or a state veteran cemetery are eligible to get this grave marker?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. They actually, those that are buried in state and federal cemeteries do not get the grave markers, but that's the eligibility. It's a veteran defined by Minnesota state law, and they actually have to be buried. You can't have cremains held at home or scattered, things like that. You actually have to be interred to receive the marker.
So essentially, this is for veterans that are buried in private cemeteries, and it's an indication that they are a veteran that you can tell if you're just walking
away. Yeah, there you go. And in little towns, usually people leave them out all year long. They are a precious metal. They get stolen. They get recycled. There is provisions for CVSOs to buy extra ones through our grant. And, of course, the military veterans organizations throughout the state can also purchase them. But the idea is if you get one, put it out for Memorial Day and then go pick it back up and take it home.
So in order to get one of those, all I have to do is contact your county veteran service officer and they can help you.
There you go.
Yep. Greg, we've just got a couple minutes left. Can you give us an update on the funds that were provided by the governor and the legislature for the disaster assistance program for veterans?
I sure can. The $6.2 million, I believe the state has got very close to 5,000 applicants for $1,000 grants. We've had about 50 right here in Brown County, and there was some delay in the state processing them, but now they are really cranking them out. We've got about 50 here, and we're seeing maybe half of them already done. A very simple application. I'd encourage anyone, don't worry about it if you haven't applied. If you're affected by the COVID virus and have lost income, or your spouse, or you gained billing because of having to have children at home or children in daycare, you're eligible to apply for that grant.
So they can apply for that at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, or they can just contact their county veteran service officer.
They can. We'd prefer them to contact us because we've got the checklist, and we know when we submit it, it's already all done. If they miss a signature, that's going to put probably a two-week delay in it, because MDVA will have to ask them, hey, we need you to sign this form, and just more delay. Come see your county veteran service officer.
So they've approved about 5,000 of the 6,200 available. So if you want that, better get to it soon.
Oh, my. Yep.
All right, Greg, it's always good to talk to you. I hope everybody gets through this COVID-19 well and gets back out and about to keep their mental health.
I do, too. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks, Greg. That was Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one message today from Annette Kuiper, the director of military outreach at the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. She sent me a note and says that, as most of us have heard, the Minnesota State Fair has been canceled for this year, unfortunately. We hope to partner with all of the Yellow Ribbon companies for next year on Military Appreciation Day, and we'll look forward to seeing you then. And she also announced that the Fall Yellow Ribbon Company Conference, scheduled for September, has been canceled, and they plan for April 2021 for the next one to be hosted by Great River Energy. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel James Cleet, Commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota National Guard, Paula Nowinski, Greg Peterson, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about veterans benefits with the VA and get an update from the Commander's Task Force. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.